गोपीजन बल्लभा जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी। गोपी जन बल्लभा जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी यशोरानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोरानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोरानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोरानंदन व्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीरावनाचारी जमुना तीरावनाचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णु पार परमहंस प्रीब्रजकाचार्य तथा सतश्री श्रीमद is the Vanguished A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki, yeah. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, yeah. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarindi Ki, yeah. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, yeah. Prem Sega Hosri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaitika Radhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki, yeah. Shishi Radha Krishna Go Gopakobina Shyamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki, yeah. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Maiki, Jamuna Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakmindiki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nate Bhavasyesha Bhavasya Karanam Vina Vinodam Bata Tarakayat Mahe Bhavo Nirodhas
Sthitir
Apyavidyaya Krita Yatas Tvaya Bhayasrayatmani. Nate bhavasyesha bhavasya karanam Vina vinodham bhatatakaya mahe Bhavo nirodhasti tirapya vidyaya Kritayatas tvaya bhayasrayatmani Na te bhavasyesha bhavasya karanam Vina vinodham bhatatarka yamahe Bhavo nirodhasti tirapya vidyaya Kritayatas tvaya abhayasrayatmani Na,
not,
te, of your lordships. Abhavasya, of whom there is no birth, death, or maintenance. As for an ordinary being. Isha, O Supreme Lord. Bhavasya, of your appearance, your birth. Karanam, the cause. Vina, without. Vinodam, the pastimes. Despite what is said, you are not forced to come to this world by any cause. Bhatta, however, Tarkayamahe, we cannot argue, but must simply understand that these are your pastimes. Bhava, birth. Nirodha, death. Stiti, maintenance. Api, also. Avidyaya, by the external illusory energy. Kritaha, done. Yataha, because. Twayi, unto you. Abhaya ashraya, O fearless shelter of all. Atmani, of the ordinary living entity. Text 38. O Lord, we are fortunate because the heavy burden of the demons upon this earth is immediately removed by your appearance. Indeed, we are certainly fortunate, for we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planets the marks of the lotus, conch shell, club, and disc that adorn your lotus feet. Purport. The soles of the Lord's lotus feet are marked with Shankar Chakra Gada Padma, conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, and also by a flag and a thunderbolt. When Krishna walks on this earth or in the heavenly planets, these marks are visible everywhere, wherever he goes. Vrindavan Dham is a transcendental place because of Krishna's walking on this land frequently. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were fortunate to see these marks here and there. When Akura went to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram away to the festival arranged by Kamsa, upon seeing the marks of the Lord's feet on the ground of Vrindavan, he fell down and began to groan. These marks are visible to devotees who receive the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tava nukam pitam. The demigods were jubilant not only because the appearance of the Supreme Lord would do away with the burdensome demons, but also because they would be able to see upon the ground the transcendental marks from the soles of the Lord's lotus feet. The gopis always thought of the Lord's lotus feet when he was walking in the pasturing ground. And, as described in the previous verse, simply by thinking of the Lord's lotus feet, the gopis were fully absorbed in transcendence. Avishta cheta na bhavaya kalpate. Like the gopis, one who is always absorbed in thought of the Lord is beyond the material platform and will not remain in this material world. It is our duty, therefore, to always hear, chant, and think about the Lord's lotus feet. It is actually done by Vaishnavas who have decided to live in Vrindavan always and think of the Lord's lotus feet 24 hours a day. So this aspect of always being absorbed in the Lord, then this is very, you know, this is the actual process that we follow. This is the position, the goal we're trying to obtain. That absorption in Krishna is then what the living entity is doing, but not on the platform of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People are always absorbed in him, but on the platform of Brahman and Paramatma. And generally, this is without knowledge, so they're in ignorance they're absorbed in the Lord. So they just are absorbed in the Lord's external energy, right? Because the Lord and his energies are non-different. So they're absorbed in the Lord, but only in this external feature, and they don't attribute it to him. So this perfection of being absorbed in the Lord as a person, in devotion, then that is the state that one is trying to attain. This is what the Krishna consciousness movement is about. It's to awaken one again to this remembrance of the Lord based on the transcendental position. Because the living entity being part and parcel of the Lord and everything being the Lord, there's no question of being separated from the Lord. You just can't do that. But by consciousness, one is separated. Because one is unconscious of the Lord. In ignorance, one is unconscious. But you can't be separated. So all they're thinking about is the Lord has various aspects. But they don't attribute it to the Lord. So it brings about no devotion. Right? So then, Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is the perfectional platform of where being absorbed in the Lord as a person, his transcendental form, takes you beyond the material. Right? It means if there was no difference between Krishna's transcendental form and the material, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between what's transcendental and material. Right? It's only because Krishna is transcendental and he has the material energy, then we as living entities, by his grace, can see the difference. Right? Because in polluted consciousness, we'll see the external energy. But by his grace, then we can understand the transcendental position. So those devotees that are absorbed like this, as we see, those devotees, the transcendental devotees, then they are on this wonderful platform. And because of being on that platform, then they go beyond the modes and they're absorbed in ecstatic trance in the Lord. So that's the position. So following in the footsteps of those who are on that position, right? Those who have established themselves in Vrindavan, we see as the Lord's eternal associates, the advanced devotees who are absorbed in this way, they're always absorbed in this platform. So we follow in their footsteps, right? To try to always absorb ourselves in Krishna. So everything else is seen in connection with Krishna. Right? So, yeah. So text 39. Translation. O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries like birth, death, and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and thus they are qualitatively one with the Lord. We can understand that when the Supreme Lord appears or disappears as an incarnation, there is no other cause than his pleasure potency. We cannot force the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. As he says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there's decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. When there's a need to diminish a burden created by the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do it in many ways because he has multifarious energies. There is no need for him to come in an incarnation since he is not forced to do anything like ordinary living entities. The living entities come to the material world in the spirit of enjoyment, but because they want to enjoy without Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukta Haya Bhoja Vanshi Kare, they suffer birth, death, old age and disease under the control of the material energy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, however, no such causes are involved. His descent is an act of his pleasure potency. We should always remember this distinction between the Lord and the ordinary living entity and not uselessly argue that the Lord cannot come. There are philosophers... Okay. So, here's the being pointed out that the living entities are part and parcel of the Lord, just as he has all his energies, then are non-different from him. The living entities, being also part of his energy, are non-different from him. But at the same time, as we see, is by quantity, they are different. Right? Same substance, but a different quantity. And as Krishna is individually conscious, so all his part and parcels are also individually conscious. Everything's coming from Krishna. So then he comes when there is, he comes on his own. So the point being made is he doesn't have to come. He comes out from his own desire, his own pleasure. So through his internal potency, he is coming. The living entities are taking birth in the material world because of the external potency. The living entity has external consciousness, so they're looking at the external, right? So the forms we see, the situations we see, actions that you can do, knowledge that you have, skills you have, application of all that knowledge and skills and situations, gaining of results, right? And qualities that I may use in that and experiences I may get from that. That's all considered external, right? Because generally we take it external as just the grosser elements, but it also includes the subtle body. So these gross and subtle elements, the metaphysical element, these are all the external. The internal is absorption in Krishna and devotion. Right? So that's one thing. That's what holds all the devotees together. It holds the whole spiritual world together. So when someone doesn't think of the Lord but thinks of his energies and deals on all these levels, no matter how nicely or not, right, from Lord Brahma all the way down to Indigopa Germ, that they have various levels of perception and knowledge and abilities to do things. But it's all external. It all will keep one in the material world. Therefore, all the elements of karma, all the elements of jnana, all the elements of yoga, on all the different levels of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are all external. And absorption in them will keep you here. So, unless we add in the internal, that element, that of remembering all this in connection with Krishna, then we attain the transcendental position. Otherwise, we remain on the material platform. So it's not what knowledge and skill you have. Is it connected to Krishna? So when Krishna comes because there's a decline in religious practice, then what's technically happening here? Right? So is it because the religious practices are also external? Right? It means what regulations you put on your body, your mind, your words. These are what, you know, how, what you should do, what you avoid. That's religious processes. And these religious processes are there to understand and appreciate a particular goal. Like, right, if you're austere, then it'll create detachment. If you are studious, you know, you follow that, then you'll gain knowledge. If you're charitable, then you'll also give up, you know, attachment to money. Does this make sense? They have their goals. But becoming detached, what's the point of it? Becoming austere, becoming knowledgeable, what's the point unless it's connected to Krishna? So without connecting to Krishna, it's still external. So when we say is Krishna's coming to establish religious practice, it's still an external thing. Right? So why would he be involved in that? Right? So the point comes down is that the religious practices as recommended in the scripture, those are the external practices that devotees use to express devotion. And giving those up, or irreligious activities, those are what gross materialists do because they're not interested in Krishna. You understand? So, in other words, when religion declines, it's unfavorable for the devotees. That's the only reason he comes. Because to kill the demons and just make things right, Maya can do that herself. It doesn't take very much. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Like it's surprising what little it takes for someone to die. Right? It doesn't take a whole lot. You know? Like that. They trip. They choke. They, you know, just, you know, anything. They drink water. They drink water every day, but they choke. You know, they walk every day, but they trip. But it just happened to be on a set of stairs. You understand? It's just, it's so easy. Maya can take care of it. So Krishna doesn't have to come to kill the demons. But because it's about establishing the religious principles, because these are the devotional practices, therefore it's of value. And in doing so, then he will bring the primary into it, where then the devotees can remember the pastimes Krishna did in killing those demons. So they become absorbed in the primary and then naturally use the secondary or the religious practices to serve Krishna. That's why Krishna comes. Right? Does that make sense? It's not that the religious practices themselves stand on their own. They're of value because they're connected to Krishna. Because you say, no, no, everybody's has to be good and nice. On the heavenly planets, they're all in the mode of goodness. Right? But they're absorbed in material things. Only at moments like this, then you see they remember Krishna. Otherwise, other times they have a tendency to forget. Right? They're neophytes. So, the establishment of the religious principles isn't the primary aspect. It's remembrance of Krishna. But now, in remembering Krishna, you're going to do activities with the body, mind, and words. Right? That's how you're going to be absorbed in the Lord. So what are the activities? What activities of the body, of the mind, and of the words do you do? What are recommended that are useful to remember the Lord? Does that make sense? Like that. Just like anything you want to do has a favorable situation. Like you want to cook, where's the favorable situation? Right? In the kitchen. Right? You want to sleep, that's in the bedroom. You want to take a bath, that's in the bathroom. So we have situations. And then within those situations, you have rules. You put things into the pot that's on the fire, they cook. You don't put them in the pot, or you put them in a pot that's not on the fire, they don't cook. Strange, but true. You understand? So, rules we follow every moment of our day. Right? But what's the point about these rules that we follow? As devotees, then we're following what's recommended in Scripture. So as we said, because they're then good for devotional service. If someone's not a devotee, why are they following rules? Simply for the benefit they'll get. So if they're pious enough to have faith in the Vedic, and so therefore they want to gain the benefits there of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha on a sattvic platform, then they'll follow the rules simply because of the material benefits they'll get. And if they're not worried about the Vedas and their, you know, passionate ignorance is quite comfortable for them, then their rules and regulations aren't going to have anything to do with the Vedas. So it'll be purely speculative. It'll just be whatever they feel is going to get them what they want. That's it. That's the bottom line. Now, intelligent ones will observe, okay, I do it in this way, I get what I want. I do it in that way, I don't get what I want. Therefore, then they do it in this way. Right? Therefore, you have books that are on, okay, what successful people do. Because they've just found, you do it that way, it works. Right? You invest your money instead of just having parties, you gain money. Right? Marie Antoinette, she used to just have parties. It didn't work out so good. Like that. You know, you say someone really, you know, went over the top, they lost their head. Yeah, well, it was literal. You know? And for that, she just partied all the time. That's all she did. That was her occupational. You know? You understand? So that's the whole thing. There are methods. So why? Because based on the platform of Brahman, everything's coming from Brahman. So that means everything has a way that it functions, a right and wrong how it functions on the platform of Brahman. It's called the laws of nature. Right? And so everyone, even the atheists, have to accept that. Though they don't like to, but like that. Then when you get up to the social and what who should do what, that's when you come to the Paramatma level. Now, do they accept it based on the scriptures or not? That's the difference. So if they base it on scriptures, that brings them up to the Manamoya platform of consciousness. They don't. They simply, just by their observation, it's Manamoya. So actually, it's just extended sense gratification. It's just the sensual platform. It's just pratyaksha. They haven't heard from authority, other than the moon themselves as authority. So, you know, like you have the saying, a person likes to hear themselves speak, right? So because they like listening to authority, so they like hearing themselves speak. Right? So, that aspect where then Krishna, he is coming to establish the activities that are favorable for the devotees to do devotional service. That's what those rules are for. No other purpose. Otherwise, if you follow the rules and don't see it in connection with Krishna, one's missed the point. It's pious, it's nice, but it's still missed the point. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. So, therefore, Krishna doesn't have to come to do this. The material energy will do this. But he comes because by him doing it, then you're adding the primary element. You're adding Krishna. And then by how Krishna then does it, the one can be absorbed and then see everything connected to Krishna. Okay. We should always remember the distinction between the Lord and the ordinary living entity and not uselessly argue that the Lord cannot come. There are philosophers who do not believe in the Lord's incarnation who ask, quote, why should the Supreme Lord come? End quote. But the answer is, quote, why should he not come? Right? He's saying, why should he come? Why should he not come? You know what I'm saying? Because all the atheists say, can't be God, but why not? You know? Oh, no, I can think whatever I want. Yeah, and I can think about God, too. That's being doing whatever you want. You understand? So even on even on the worst scenario, where people don't have faith that there's God and God's laws, it's 50%. It's never less than 50%. Atheists try to make it as, you know, they're, you know, 100% atheist, zero theists. No, there's no such thing. It's always minimum 50-50. Right? Because his existence, why not? That's the whole point. So that's the thing. Why should he come? Why not? Why should he be controlled by the desire of the living entity? Right? Because the living entity is saying he can't come. Why should he be controlled by that? Right? Why should he be? Why would he be controlled by atheists? The Lord is free to do whatever he likes. Therefore, this verse says, "Vina vinodam bata tarkaya mahe." It is only for his pleasure that he comes, although he does not need to come. So it's because he likes interacting with the devotees. That's why he comes. Right? To be lord of the material energy, he doesn't have to come to do that. Just by his desire, it's happening. Literally, he desires that his material, his energies, and here, the material creation, they take care of everything. Down to the smallest detail. So his coming is simply because he likes it. You know, he's doing quite well in Vrindavan. He doesn't have to come here. Right? When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they are engaged in karma and karma phala by the Lord's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. As stated here, krita yatas Tvai yabha shrayat mani. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless. Right? Because fear means the fear of one's birth, death, old age, and disease, fear of the temporariness in the material world, fear of suffering. That's the basic thing. The living entities always have these fears. So now for the devotee, they're fearless because the root of fearlessness is gone. They're absorbed in the Lord. While the materialists, they'll always be fearful because the basis of their fear is coming because they're fearful of their relationship with the Lord. They don't want to be servant. They don't want to be subservient. They want to be able to do whatever they like, whatever they like. So they're actually afraid of that relationship, and that fear then pervades everything in their life. Well, if you're absorbed in the Lord, you're fearless, so therefore that pervades everything in your life. Yeah? Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna we can enjoy freedom in this material world. This idea is the reason we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. The shelter is described as abhaya, or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, or disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we are also not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. But we have become subject to these illusory problems because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as his eternal servants. Jivir Surupai Krishner Nityadas. Therefore, if we practice devotional service by always thinking of the Lord, always glorifying him, and always chanting about him, as described in text 37, Srinvan Grinan Sam Smarayams Cha Tintayan, we will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigods therefore encouraged Devaki not to fear Kamsa, but to think of the Supreme Personality Godhead who was always within, already within her womb. So the solution then we see here, as Prabhupada is giving, is, as demigods are pointing out, is that all problems come from not identifying ourselves with Krishna, not acting in that capacity. Right? Because it's the Lord's material energy. It varies, it changes. And so what we're looking for in a particular item is Krishna. Right? Let's say money, it gives us a particular security or a particular authority or power or whatever it is, the opportunities for sense gratification. Then the point is that experience we're gaining, that's Krishna. So if we're absorbed in Krishna, we already have what we're looking for. Right? So then if money comes or goes, it doesn't matter because you're absorption in Krishna. So if it comes, you're thinking of Krishna. If it goes, you're thinking of Krishna. So you're always absorbed in the point, in the object of desire. Right? Does that make sense? So then one becomes transcendental. And the point is whatever the position, you have money, but you didn't always have money. So then the point is how do you gain that money? It's by working in the present. Right? So now if someone is transcendental, they work in the present. Because in the spiritual world, there's only present. There's no future or past. It's always in the present. They're always, the situation they're in, absorbed in Krishna, how they'll serve Krishna at this moment. Does that make sense? That's the position. And that's how we see, as we mentioned, that's what the great devotees are doing, the pure devotees are doing. So, in the material world, if you want to be successful in an action, what do you have to do? You have to function in the present. You have to be absorbed in the field of activities and right that's happening right now and do that in the context of where it's going. And then you'll be successful. Why is that? Because that's the principle of devotional service. It's not, but in the material world it works like this, in the spiritual world it's another way. No, not at all. What works in the spiritual world is how the material world works. There is not something else. Right? It's not that when you look in the mirror and you bend your arm, your elbow goes up. In the mirror, the elbow goes down. Right? I mean, it'd make a great video, but it doesn't do that. It's the same rules. Just they don't give the same flavor and variety and everything that you get in the spiritual world. It's the same mechanics. Mechanics are the same. Why? Because the material world is based on Brahman. Brahman is just the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. So that means just the effulgence off of Krishna's qualities. That's what then the material world is based on. Therefore it follows all the rules of the spiritual world. That's why Krishna comes to establish Dharma, because otherwise it's an unfavorable atmosphere for devotional service. Does that make sense? That's what's going on. So it's all in connection with devotional service. That's why it says without devotional service, karma and gyan don't work. Because the activities in bhakti, if you don't follow them, your karma and your gyan will not work. It's just the way it is. You know? You take anything we do, and you'll find, with time, the karmis figure out that's how it works. Right? Like, more contemporary times, there are many, you know, people who, they've figured out getting up early in the morning, that's the only way you really get things done in the day. You know, so they get up at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, some even at 2 in the morning. These are the straight up front karmis. Because they know they get things done that way. And they go to bed early. They've just understood that's how it works. Or regulate the diet. Right? They figured out that works. So whatever it is that we do, taking a bath, things like that, it works, right? That was, they saw the bubonic plague by that one thing. They took a bath. You know, the plague went away. Right? Rats don't take baths. That's why they have it. Right? Does that make sense? So we don't have to bait all the rats. We just take a bath ourselves. Right? Much easier. Better, more straightforward solution. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that these things that makes the material. So we're looking, oh, what do the karmis do? No, that's just, what are we supposed to do? What's recommended? That's what makes things work. The principle works. If we always look at the external, yes, it becomes hard to understand. But what does it do? Why does it do? What's the quality there? That, why is that good? It creates certain things. And because of that, it's useful in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why things are done in this way. So here then the demigods are pointing out to Devaki is that her fear of constant, that she doesn't have to worry because she's absorbed in Krishna. Because Krishna is, you know, in her womb. So therefore, being absorbed in Krishna, Krishna will take care of everything. It'll all work nicely. Right? Because we're looking at the external, by it being in one particular thing, it will therefore give us a result that we want. And that result that we want will give us an experience we want. Right? The results, the paraphernalia, knowledge, and skills only have a value in as much as you can use them. Right? Using them only has as much value as the result you can get. The result you get only has as much value as the experience you get from that result. You understand? So the point is if from that you're absorbed in Krishna, if you're already absorbed in Krishna, what do you need to gain? You understand? That's the point. So they're pointing out to her that she doesn't have to worry. She's absorbed in Krishna. Everything will be fine. Yes. Any questions or comments? Or no? Somebody's there? Oh, okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, kindly explain me once, akamaha sarva kamo va moksha kama. Tivrena bhakti yoga ni yujite purusham paramam. Can I explain it very...
But what's the point you're looking for? What's the context of that verse with this?
No, akamaha sarva kama va moksha kama.
Yes, but what is it you're looking for? What's the problem? What's the doubt?
No, what is it? If I can elaborately explain the particular issue.
Okay,
once again. But
what is it that you're looking for to be explained?
Because I'm not able to follow in that particular sentence. Akama sarva kama.
But what's the doubt? What don't you understand about it? Because not following means there's something that you don't understand. Because otherwise, if you understood, you'd follow it. Yeah. Right? So, what don't you understand about that verse?
No, in different Upanishads, Prabhu, Maharaj, different opinions are there. That is the reason.
And what are these different opinions?
Suppose you say the Mundaka Upanishad is there. If you refer to Mundaka Upanishad, it's clear. They said only Smaranam is only required.
Other Smaranam are, is only required.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And
so, rest of the things, because they give the importance for Smaranam.
Okay, but I'm saying that's Mundaka, and then the
yes.
Other Upanishad, what's the other doubt?
No, different...
Yes, what are these different? That was one. You gave one. What's the other one? You say different. Let's hear the different. One is, only needs Smaranam. What's the other ones? What are the, you know, that's causing this confusion? One of them says all you need is love, or, you know, I mean, what is it? What is the other ones that's saying? What's the doubt?
No, my doubt
you're saying different, but what are these different?
Is Smarana and this chanting is both are same or what?
That's Smarana and?
So every day we are just doing some japa.
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 Okay, so is Smarana and japa the same? Okay. So, Smarana is there, means remembrance of the Lord. Okay? So now, is it natural that we will do some activity that therefore Smaranam will come up? Does it just happen on its own? Or if we're looking at it technically, is there not some Udipan that causes that Smaranam? Right? Yes or no? So, therefore, then, when he's saying smarna is not because that's what you're trying to get to, but there's so many ways that you can do things to cause smarna. Right? You can see things connected to Krishna, you can hear things connected to Krishna, you can taste things connected to Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya is saying in the Prasad Seva prayers, that this spinach that they're eating is so tasty because Krishna has eaten it. So from taste, he's remembering. Right? And now when you're chanting japa, then you're chanting Krishna's name. Right? And so this japa then is, the name is non-different from Krishna. You're associating with Krishna. Why wouldn't that be udipan for remembering Krishna? So if we look at, see, the difficulty comes is when we only see these things, the definitions given in the scriptures, from the secondary point of view. We're looking at it that smarnam is an activity, right? And japa is an activity, or, you know, growing potatoes is an activity. And so then these all are so different. But the point is what's the primary? So in this case, when the Upanishad says smarnam, that means that absorption in the Lord, that's what it's talking about, not just remembering. Because otherwise, then, is it perfection that, okay, the husband's coming home from work, and he did remember to stop at the corner shop and pick up the cauliflowers, so that when he comes home and he gets out of the car, and before he's even shut the door to the car, his wife yells out the window, did you remember the cauliflowers? So now he can close the door to the car and say, yes, I did, and walk in the house. Otherwise, that's why it's timed at that time, because before he closes the door, he can get back in the car and go out and get them. So now that he remembered the cauliflowers, now is that the perfection that the Upanishads are talking about? You know what I'm saying? You know, is Yad Vashem, is that the perfection of, you know, how you say the Upanishadic point of smarana? Right? So, this is the whole point, is that it's a matter of, you know, or the Texans, you know, remember the Alamo. And so they're following the, you know, why the Alamo? Why do you remember the Alamo? It's Upanishadic. What do you mean? We're remembering, or, you know. You understand? Because how does Shravanam happen? Smarnam happens because of Shravanam Kirtanam. What you hear, then you can speak, and then the Shravanam Kirtanam, then you remember. So therefore, if the Upanishads say Smarnam is important, or that's the goal, that means you have to have Shravanam Kirtanam to get there. So then why wouldn't Japa be part of that? So the Upanishads aren't, there is no contradiction between the Upanishads. All they are is pointing out different points. Otherwise, if they're all saying the same thing, why do you need different Upanishads? Right? There have been unlimited conversations in the universe. So why is it only certain ones are documented in the Upanishads? Right? Because these represent the points that need to be understood. Not that that's the only time it was ever discussed, but that was discussed in such a nice, clear, and exact way that therefore it's related in the Upanishad. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's why it's there. It's not that these conversations aren't always going on. So otherwise, why do you need more than one Upanishad? Because they're bringing out different aspects. One may bring out the Shravana, one may bring out the different processes using, someone else may be that aspect of focus just on the Lord. That's what you see in the Gita. He's giving all these different, the Karma Yoga, the Jnana Yoga, the two of them combined, the Jnana Yoga. Then he's giving the subtleties of the mode of nature and all these different things just so that you can remember the Lord. That's what it says. Just surrender to Him. Be absorbed in Him. You know, isn't it? Man mana bhava bhakto. That's it. And the sarva dharma parityaja. Just give up all the others. It's just about remembering Him. So Gita is saying the same thing. We say the same thing. But it's not that these other aspects aren't useful. Right? So that's the point. These religious processes are useful because they'll help us remember Krishna. That's why we do them. We're not interested in following them just to follow. Right? We don't just follow the rules of the Vedas just to follow them, or follow modern moralism just to follow. We follow things because it's useful in devotional service. And useful means it reminds us of Krishna. Is that okay? Okay. That is. Something else? No? Oh.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So, why it is so difficult to remember the primary? Usually we are used to always be absorbed in the secondary thing.
Yes.
So why it is so difficult?
Why is it so difficult? Main thing is that we're not convinced that the primary includes the secondary. It would be like, let us say we're cooking, okay? And then cooking will accomplish a preparation that's finished that you can then, you know, offer to the Lord, eat, like this kind of thing. But now in doing that, let's say that there's a particular technique of preparation, you know, like how we cut the vegetables, or a particular technique in the cooking process, you know, refining something or things like that. And we really like that. Okay? So now, if I say all you have to do is cook, give up all other aspects and you just have to cook. That cooking includes these things we're attached to. But we have the tendency, so as I say, just cook, then we'll say, okay, we're cooking, but what about cutting the vegetables? You know, oh, okay, we're cooking, but what about, you know, putting things in the frying pan and going like this, or doing it such a way it lights on fire, you know, whatever it is that, you know, makes us happy. You know what I'm saying? So, we have this, we don't understand it's already included. That's why we see the point is being made constantly, that it's already included in devotional service, only by devotional service. Because we take it that the specific secondary aspect is what makes it work. But if I just give you a knife and things to cut, and there's not going to be any cooking, like I set up a table here and bring a big pile of potatoes and you love to cut, and so I give you a very nice knife and all that, nice cutting board, and you go, ooh, okay. And you said, okay, cut all these potatoes, and after you're cutting them and all that, you know, and then you go, wow, you need so many potatoes, what's for? You having a big program, a big feast? No, it's nothing, it's just you like to cut potatoes. Otherwise, they're just going to sit here and compost, you know, like that. Well, you know, somebody will probably throw them out one of the windows, but like that. If you throw them out that window, go to the garden. And throw them on that window, you can throw them on the, what do you call it, you know, pilgrim's heads, you know, see what happens. You know, like that. Then you may not be so inspired. All right? So the whole thing is we've come to the point of forgetting Krishna. It's just the pleasure of that we get from cutting the potatoes that is important. We don't understand this. That's in the context. It's part of the cooking process. And so if you have cooking, you already have this. And you have so many other things. So the living entity somehow or another is thought that the engagement of the senses gives an experience. But we take it that that experience is the important thing, not the connection to Krishna. We don't understand that the happiness gained is because it's connection to Krishna. We think the sense engagement itself is what's producing the experience. So we separate it from Krishna, the primary, it brings it the secondary. That's mundane consciousness, that's the beginning of mundane consciousness. So then the only place for mundane consciousness is the material world. Because in the spiritual world, they're going to do the activities, all their religious activities, only to please Krishna. Right? Because it's only there. Is that, yeah. So, but in the material world, it's thought that by doing these activities, that's where I get my, that's the cause of happiness. So it's a matter of the same point being made again and again from different angles, right? That's why, again, the Upanishads have different angles and the Bhagavatam and the Puran like this, to bring out that, no, it's still the same thing. It's not different. And so we just have to get to the point where we don't need anything else. Right? We say, okay, we need money, but money comes from Dharma. So we don't need anything more than the Dharma of Krishna consciousness for it to generate money. Right? Okay, we need to have good qualities and be nice and all that. But you don't need any more than the qualities given by the Shastra on devotional service. Do we need anything more than the 25 qualities of the devotee? No. Like that. Okay, so then we need you know, skills and all that, but do we need any more skills that are already there in Krishna consciousness? You understand? Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, those are already described in the religious processes that are used in Krishna's service. Is there anything outside of that? You know, we say, oh, no, we need management. That's not part of those four. We need to make money. That's not part of those four. We need administration. That's not part of those four. We need knowledge. That's not part of those four. So that's the point. It's already there. And why are we doing it? Simply because it's connection to usefulness in Krishna consciousness. We're not following varnashram because it's important. We're following it because it's useful in Krishna's service. So when that faith is there, that simply by absorbing yourself in devotional service, that will take care of everything. That faith will make one steady in devotional service. Why? Because it will remove all the anarthas. So as long as we think, no, we have to be, you know, nice people, that's an anartha. No, we don't. We have to be devotees. Devotees are that already have the qualities of nice people. Because we see the nice people, they're not always nice. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. In certain situations, they'll be nice. Change the situation, they're not nice. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is one has to understand is that, no, it's devotional service will make all these perfections. And everyone says, no, but devotees are there and they don't have good qualities, but there's a lag there, that's all. Because if you look at it, how many karmis are nice? Because you say, oh no, but you have to have these nice qualities. Go ahead, name me all the karmis you know that are nice. You know? You say, oh, this one person or that. Oh, the karmis are so nice. Which ones? Okay, I'm standing here in the airport. Which ones are nice? Point out. Right? You know, in the bus stand and this and that. Oh no, I met one. Here, I met one there. Yeah, okay. You met one now today. Okay, great, great. When was the last time you met one? Other than that person. Oh yeah, 3 years ago. Yeah, and where was that? Oh yeah, when we were... If you look at it, in reality, how many nice people are there? You know, if you think about it, as karmis, how many, who have you met that's really nice? They're just nice people. There's not that many. So then why is one surprised that, oh, the devotees, if you look at the devotees, in proportion, there's much more nice people. So there's the karmis, then you have a whole bunch of people that are not nice and a couple that are, and we'll somehow or another say they're all nice. And devotees, most are nice and a couple may be a little, you know, snarky, and then we'll say, oh, they're not nice. How does that work? How is that logical? You know what I'm saying? So if we're taking a modern viewpoint, it's supposed to be logical. Right? Isn't it? Modern is logic and science and practical and down to earth and all these stuff and kind of like, no, it's not. It's just a particular angle on their material desire. That's all. Somebody likes nice qualities. Someone else doesn't care. As long as it makes profit, it doesn't matter. Heard there's an American saying, laughing all the way to the bank. You hear that? Yeah. This is, I mean, they don't care. They got money. You know, so they don't care how they got it. Oh, but then you had to demean yourself on that. Yeah, but I got money and you don't. You know, you're the great guy with all the scruples and you got nothing and I got money. So, you know, who's going to party here? So they don't care. So that's the whole thing, is they don't care about that as long as they have the money, as long as they have the sense enjoyment. They don't care. You know, all the things we're saying, oh no, but you have to have money and all that and be situated so you can enjoy life. These guys are enjoying life with not one scruple. Nothing. So then it's not that morality makes it, just morality makes it that more people can enjoy, that's all. Morality doesn't make for enjoyment. Morality means we can enjoy as a group. Well, otherwise, that guy just enjoys on his own. Does that make sense? So you're just trying to expand the enjoyment. So where's Krishna in this? So the point is, devotee, it's about Krishna. So they're supposed to be nice because it pleases Krishna. So then you become aware of it. You become aware of it in context of devotional service. Then in performing your service, you try to be nice to please Krishna. But if you try to be nice to please because you're supposed to be nice, someone's going to do something you don't like and you won't be nice. You know? And then what happened to your niceness? Where's the basis of it? Does that make sense? In other words, political correctness, all these things work in an ideal environment where nothing's going wrong. And as soon as things aren't normal, it changes. It changes. It immediately goes into us and them. Immediately. So where's the good qualities? Where's the equality? You know, it's like, so that's the whole point, is that when devotional service is the basis of everything, whatever is of value, then it takes on the transcendental quality. Then you become transcendental. You become freed from the modes of nature. But as long as you think, no, this on its own is important, then there's devotional service. Or even worse, that without this, there can be no devotional service, then you just won't advance. You won't understand. The demigods already made that point. Without devotion, you cannot understand. It doesn't matter how smart, qualified, mundane, you know, people appreciate, you cannot understand. It has zero to do with material qualification. Right? Even Brahma can't understand. If he can't understand, nobody's going to understand. He's got four heads and still he gets bewildered. Right? Look at that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Problem is, time's up. We have to end now. That. So, okay, thank you very much. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.